When Jesus said, "I and my Father are one," he made a statement which is the basis of existence, John 10:30, and which all Christian scientists must understand. Was Jesus thinking of himself as a spiritual man when he said that? If so, then where was the Father with whom he said he was one? To say, "Well, I can't exactly answer that question, but I believe he was one with the Father," cannot demonstrate that fact for us. We must know what he means. We cannot go on forever just believing. After all, Christian Science is not just a religion, although it is generally regarded that way. It is also a science, as the title indicates, and that is where the knowing comes in. A science is something we must know. Therefore, we must know actually what Jesus meant when he said, "I and my Father are one." The reason this is possible for us is that God is mind, the only mind. Therefore, our mind. For this reason, there can be revealed to every one of us the science of such truths. The question is, where and how was he one with the Father? Because God is mind, the answer is, it is mind as mind or consciousness. The consciousness that man is, that God is our mind, is how and where this oneness takes place. Jesus said to the Pharisees, quote, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father," close quote. John 14:9. He also said, quote, "I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works," close quote. At this point, we must see clearly that it is not man conscious of God. For if man were conscious of God, he would include God, a logic unthinkable. So we ask ourselves, then what? Why, of course, it is God, mind, conscious of its own idea. That is why Jesus spoke with authority. It is why you and I speak with authority. The only meekness, the only humility, is acknowledging no power or mind but God. Then that oneness of being must be my being, and it must partake of the nature of God as well as of man. Thus we are reminded of the statement, quote, "Abraham, Jacob, Moses, and the prophets caught glorious glimpses of the Messiah, or Christ, which baptized these seers in the divine nature, the essence of love." Close quote. Science and Health, 333:23. Such statements illustrate the oneness of being, that each individual consciousness is the consciousness of God and man, principle and idea. This is true reflection. As I reflect upon God, and thereby know that God is, what his nature and character are, what his law and idea are, consciousness finds itself to be the unfoldment of principle and idea, or God and man, and it is God doing the unfolding. Again, in Science and Health, 485:14, we find, quote, "Emerge gently from matter into spirit," close quote. Note the capital S for spirit, and that the emergence from matter is not to spiritual man, but to spirit. This emergence from matter to spirit finds itself the idea of spirit, one with Spirit. This understanding of the oneness of being, which Mrs. Eddy has revealed in the textbook, shows why and how this work is a key to the Scriptures. This knowledge of the science of oneness is the key which unlocks the inspired pages of the Bible and the textbook. The illumination that Mrs. Eddy threw upon the Scriptures reminds us why she chose to write as the first tenet of our faith, quote, "As adherents of truth, we take the inspired word of the Bible as our sufficient guide to eternal life," close quote. Science and Health, 497.3. The revelation of God and man as one is indeed sufficient for all things. In Genesis 1, it reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." In the beginning, God created the understanding and consciousness of principle and idea as one. In another statement, Jesus said, quote, "I am the root and offspring of David," close quote, or principle and idea, God and man. According to John 1:1, quote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," close quote. And in Genesis 1:3, quote, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light," close quote. In other words, this understanding of oneness with God brings light. From this standpoint of the oneness of God and man begins the revelation of divine creation and being. Next follows what naturally takes place in the consciousness of the individual. He begins to understand things divinely instead of humanly, and so a firmament appears. For God said, quote, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters," close quote, which Mrs. Eddy interprets thus, quote, "Spiritual understanding, by which human conception, material sense, is separated from truth, is the firmament. The divine mind, not matter, creates all identities, and they are forms of mind, the ideas of spirit apparent only as mind, never as mindless matter, nor the so-called material senses." Close quote. Science and Health, 505.7. This firmament is the understanding that there is only one mind, and that there is no other intelligence, that all being is divine, which does away with the belief that we are human beings. Quote, "Behold, now is the accepted time," close quote, "to live this one and only life, which is God." Science and Health, 93.7. The Christian Science treatment is the conscious realization, utilization, of God's power by the individual giving the treatment, because the Christian Science treatment is the operation of the divine mind. It is absolutely necessary, therefore, for the individual to note what constitutes the divine. We know the divine mind because it is divine, is wholly good. So the first point is that a treatment by the divine mind must be good for all concerned. The divine mind has no personal aggrandizement, no lifting up of self above something or someone, because it includes within itself all good. Mind knows the perfection of its own ideas, and to mind there is nothing but perfection. The divine mind has no false ambition, no selfish aims, but is and maintains the universal harmony for all its ideas. The divine mind can recognize no evil by being utterly unconscious of it, not by knowing it and then making it a reality. As a belief in evil is to be destroyed, the divine mind that is the treatment destroys the belief by maintaining man and the universe in an eternal law of harmony. Where is this mind? Are we talking about this mind? Or is this mind being us? Are we being the one and only mind? Mrs. Eddy tells us to, for she says, quote, "Give up your material belief of mind and matter, and have but one mind, even God, for this mind forms its own likeness." Close quote. Science and Health, 216-30. This is our mind and our standpoint. I am discussing these things with you because I sometimes have the question put to me, when and how may I know that this mind is doing the treating? Well, we say, is there good and evil? The good to be blessed and the evil to be punished? Is there matter and spirit? Are there persons, places, and things? All is mind, knowing its own ideas. Mrs. Eddy uses two terms which help us to see more clearly what an actual Christian Science treatment is. They are divine science and Christian science. Of course, they mean one and the same thing, essentially. Divine science means the understanding of the divinity of God, man, and the universe, wholly good, spiritually mental, perfect, eternal, infinite, without blemish of any kind, the conscious individual being of this state of perfection. Christian science is the application of this understanding of being. It heals what seems to be a life separate from God, mind, which involves the belief of evil.